Hello, and welcome to this half hour with Rallets Baptist Church. My name is Brother Dwayne Cook, and I'm pastor here at Rallets, and I'd like to invite you to our Sunday morning services every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We have a Sunday school program. We feel like that we could be able to minister to you through Sunday school. I really hope that if you are a Christian and you're a member of a church, you attend Sunday school. I think it can be very edifying for you. I think it'd be very encouraging for you, and I pray that you give Sunday school opportunity. Then also, you can come join us on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. for our worship service. We have a traditional worship service where you just come dressed as you are, and we sing hymns. We open God's Word. We want to give you the truth of the gospel as plainly and as clearly as can be humanly possible, because I feel like that when we focus upon the gospel, that it changes lives. It's the only thing we're going to see in a few minutes. That's the only thing that's the power of God to change lives. And so we want to present the gospel each and every week in a variety of ways. Every section of the Bible has got the gospel in it. You just have to find it. God has presented Christ throughout the Bible. Genesis to Revelation is a proclamation of Jesus Christ. And I want to invite you to come join us. Maybe you come be with us on Wednesday evenings. Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. We just thank God that we're able to go through the Gospel of John. We've been looking through the Gospel of John, coming up on chapter 6, and boy, we've taken some tough look at chapter 6, because there are such great deep teachings there from Christ Himself. And I know all of Scripture is inspired. All of Scripture is God's holy Word, but there's something about those letters in red that grabbed my attention, and so I keep those things in mind at all times. We are continuing to go through the book of 1 Corinthians, and I've certainly been enjoying it. It's not generally what God has led me to. That's not been the way God has worked in the majority of the time for me here at Rallets. It's been topical sermons, but I think that one of the things God is trying to teach me in working through 1 Corinthians, and one of the things that God is trying to teach you in your Bible study, as you go book by book instead of skipping around. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to pick up your Bible and skip around places. That's wonderful. If that's the only way you can do it, do it. But when you want to get deeper, when you want to get farther, when you want to understand more, then I suggest you take looking at it a book at a time. Because what it's going to do, it's going to force you to look at subjects that you normally would not look at. It's going to prepare you for things that are going to arise in your life that you normally wouldn't be ready for. And when you look at books of the Bible as complete, then you're arming yourself. You're giving yourself an opportunity to look at things that normally is not in your way of thinking. Now, as a congregation here at Rallets, God is doing something. He's taking opportunity. Do you know God can head problems off before they ever get there? That God can build you up for crises that you have not even went through yet? And I think God can do that for us right here in 1 Corinthians. So we've now made our way for chapter 10. And I want to go through verse 18. Eight verses in chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 10 through 18. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. And Paul asks this question, verse 13. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I had baptized in my own name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Besides, I do not know whether I baptized any other. Now, here's two focal verses, okay? 17 and 18. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Now, I think we really need to take our time, and I've kind of presented this sort of twofold. There's part of it where we really have to do some teaching. We got to do some understanding. We got to get in depth in this role of baptism, the role of baptism in a Christian's life. And then we need to look at the power of the message of God through the cross of Christ. We want to see the message of that cross and make sure that that's not being removed from your church. You, as a member of the church you're attending, need to make sure that they're not removing the message of the cross. That's not become something that's in the background, because the message of the cross is something that needs to be in the forefront. It's not something that we can allow to slip into, oh yeah, and this. It's got to be the preeminent message from the pulpit of every church should be the cross of Christ. Because salvation comes through a cross and a crucified Christ and no other way. Salvation does not come through good works. It do not come through adhering to any laws, whether that be a Sharia law or any Muslim law. Just because somebody is grounded in their faith, if their faith is grounded in the wrong thing, then it's a false. It's not going to lead them to salvation. Salvation comes through a cross and a crucified Christ alone. Period. End of sentence. That's it. And so I first of all want to address this teaching issue of baptism. Verse 17. I'm going to read that to you again. Paul the Apostle, the man who cared so much about seeing people saved, his own people, he said of his own people in Romans, Paul said, I would curse myself. I myself would give up my salvation if it meant that my brethren would be saved. That's how much Paul cared about people being saved. Now, when the Bible talks about being saved, it's talking about being saved from the wrath of God. That is scarier than the wrath of hell. That's scarier than lying and cheating and all the sins that we've been saved from. To be saved from the wrath of God is saved from it all. That's the major message. What's happened today is we've tried to water God down. We've tried to hide God and say, you know, God is so good, God is so good, God is so good. And then men say, okay, great, this good God would never send me to hell. I don't have to worry about being saved from anything. When really and truly we forget to present God in His holiness first, and then say God's wrath is against all those who are not holy. Here's the only way you can be holy. It's through Christ. And then men say, oh my goodness, I'm not holy. The wrath of God rests upon me. How can I have any hope? And then you can say, here's the good news. Here's the gospel. Christ died for your sins. He was buried for you in your stead. And He rises again in your hope. That's the gospel message. So Paul wants to present the gospel so that men might be saved. Now let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. If Paul the Apostle said, I did not come to baptize, is baptizing what saves you? If the man who cared more about people being saved than any other individual in the New Testament, if he was able to say, I did not come to baptize, then is he really concerned? Is he really got all of his eggs in one basket? Is he really saying, would the greatest evangelist to ever live really come out and say, I've not been sent to baptize you if baptizing is what salvation hung on? No. No. Paul said, what I've come to do is to preach the gospel of Christ. He said, I've come to preach the good news. I've come to tell you that Christ was died and buried and resurrected. That's how people are saved. People are saved through the message of the cross. It's not water that saves you. It's the blood of Christ. It's faith in the risen Lord. It's not being dunked in a pool somewhere and your trust in that. I'll tell you what, a lot of folks are going to end up in hell because they trust the fact they've been dunked under water by somebody that's telling them the water has the power to save. It's the cross of Christ that has the power of save, and not some man that got you wet. But let me preface this. I want to make sure. So did Paul discourage baptism? Say, preacher, you Baptist? You're Baptist and you're telling me baptism means nothing? No. Did Paul discourage baptism? No. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Let me share this with you. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Paul himself was baptized after meeting Jesus, Acts chapter 9. In Acts 16, we see a revival break out in Philippi, and people are being baptized left and right. Left and right, they're being baptized, being baptized, being baptized. Acts 18:11 says many believed. You know, we gotta get the horse before the cart. Without the message of the cross, baptism means nothing. Unless you have believed and trusted in Christ, you can be baptized as many times as you want to, and you can be told that you're a member of that church, and it's not going to do you any good. You must trust in Christ and what He's done on the cross through faith. It's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And when you make baptism a work, when you make baptism something that says, well, God, I've got your arm behind your back and I'm twisting it and you have no choice but to send me to heaven because I've been baptized in such and such church. Wrong. God does not have to conform to anything. He's sovereign. He's the ruler of this universe, and He keeps your own heart beating in your chest even when you can't. He's not going to be pandered to. Paul did not wish to promote himself. That's why Paul didn't do the baptizing. In John chapter 4, verse 4, we read that Jesus didn't baptize anybody. That he let the disciples do it. Paul preached the gospel. That's the important thing. And if you have a whole sermon on baptism and you don't tell people why it is they should be baptized, then you've done nothing. Confusion. Baptism is an act of obedience to the command of Jesus. And for that very reason, it should never divert our attention away from Christ onto man. It should express our desire to rely on Christ alone for our salvation and to boast only in Him. The center of our attention should not be the method or place or person being baptized, but rather Jesus Christ. His death for our sin and His glorious resurrection. Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Paul didn't come to build up a great ministry of Paul. Paul didn't come to help Apollos, build up a great ministry of Apollos. Paul didn't come to build up any one church. I'm not here to try to build up Rowlett's Baptist Church. I'm not here to try to build this into some kind of a mega church. As a matter of fact, I'm against mega churches. I don't believe. I think they lose track of the gospel. I think they lose track of people. And people become a number or a number on a board instead of being a human being with real problems and real life issues that they need the gospel presented to them that they might find hope. The gospel is not just something you share with people who are lost in hope that they'll be saved. The gospel is something that permeates the life of a Christian so that they can find help. I can find hope this morning. When I woke up, I found hope in the fact that Jesus Christ died for me, was buried, and was resurrected. The gospel is for you, dear saint. If you've been saved for 50 years or if you've been saved for 3 years, you still need the gospel presented to you each and every day. You need to stay in the Word. You need to stay in remembrance. You need the Holy Spirit working in your heart and in your life, and you cannot separate yourself from the glory of God when you have your heart full of the gospel. Because you will be a living presentation of the gospel. So I submit to you that Paul the Apostle wanted to see people saved first, and then he wanted to see them immediately baptized. Wanted to see them immediately baptized. Everywhere in the New Testament that we read of a person who's been saved, they were baptized. And so thank God. And if they trip and fail and bang their head on the way to the baptismal pool, they'd still go to heaven. Let me go ahead and clear that up. If I get saved this Sunday, if I get saved by the glory of God, through the cross of Christ, through faith in my Lord, and I want to drive down here to Green River to get baptized, and I have a wreck on the way, and I'm killed, I go to heaven. I'm with my Lord. Because through His grace, He's chosen me to, He's given me the ability to have faith in Him, and by His stripes I've been healed, by His suffering I'll be saved. Anything else is heresy. And magnifies man and man's works. I'd a whole lot rather be baptized by the Holy Spirit than I would by Green River or by Green River Valley Water Company. Holy Spirit's where it's at. Magnify Christ, not your church. That's our teaching portion. I want to share with you a little bit now about this message of the cross. There's a movement making its way across our nation that would say, I'm okay and you're okay. And that as long as you are doing the right things and attending this church and you've got a rock band and you've got a concert every Sunday and people are raising their hands and they're worshiping and all that's fine by me. None of it bothers me unless you're telling people that they're okay in their sin, because they're not. I'm not. We're not. The preaching of the cross, first of all, is a strange message. Very strange. Who would believe that in order for a great kingdom to begin, its leader must die? That is totally opposite of everything that we've been heard or everything that we've heard or we've been taught or we've been shown. It's opposite the world. Alexander the Great, when he died, this huge kingdom he built all over Europe split up. When Stalin died, Italy fell into disarray. Hitler died, his movement ended, praise the Lord. Gaddafi died just recently. Change comes about. Those kingdoms fall. The kingdoms died with them. Jesus' death ushered in the fulfillment of His kingdom. Strange, isn't it? It's also strange. You know, I went to a revival Tuesday night and went into the church and I did something very different. I tried not to be noticed much. I just went in, sat on the back pew, and I thought to myself, this is so strange. I mean, you think about it. Look at it from perspective of the world's going to look at it, okay? I went in, sat down, and the pastor, who I really like him. Been around him quite a little bit. And he got up in the pulpit, and he said a few things. And the pulpit, to me, is such a weird-looking thing. You think about this, folks. You file into church, and you sit in the pew, and you're sitting there, and a guy's going to stand on a platform. And if the platform is great, big, and elaborate, there's automatically a separation. And it almost takes on an overwhelming aspect. It almost causes it causes me to really wonder. Jesus didn't preach from behind pulpits. He sat down among the people, sometimes he stood. That if we are having church in a manner that makes people feel like they can never achieve where we're at, I think we're at a loss. Jesus always presented the gospel in a manner that caused every man to think, I could do that. That's possible. And so I hope never to give the impression that I've achieved some sort of a spirituality that no man can achieve. Or that we have come so far along in our holiness that we can't relate to anybody that comes in through the doors. I want you to know I can relate to your troubles. I want you to know that Christ related to your troubles. He was tempted like every man, and He did not fall. But you know, it's foolishness. That word foolishness that translated the Greek translators took this holy word from Greek, broke it down, put it into English so that we could understand it, and they took this word and made it foolishness. Now, it also gave birth to another word that we know of as moronic. Moronic. The idea, now listen, the idea of trusting a suffering, bleeding man God for salvation is moronic to the world. It's crazy to them. They cannot understand this. And you know why? They're dead. Dead men can't understand nothing. Ephesians chapter 2. Read that. They're dead in their sins and they can't understand it. So when you and I have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit and our hearts have been opened, we understand the things of God. We know what's happening in our own life. We see the salvation that's come into our home. We see that the way it's working in our wife and in our husbands. We see that the way that the gospel is now causing a change in our lives. And we go running out and we're excited. We want to tell somebody about the risen Lord. We want to tell somebody the gospel. We want to share that with them. And you go running out into the world and you say, "Hey world, did you know your sins can be forgiven? Did you know that you can be set free by the blood of Christ? Did you know that we can have forgiveness and redemption and that there's a heaven awaiting us? We don't have to worry about hell. God has saved us by His glory, by His compassion and His mercy. Hey world, did you know that?" And they look at you like you're crazy. Be encouraged. Because dead people can't hear you anyway. You be encouraged. You keep following the commandment of Jesus. You keep telling people about this risen Lord. And sometimes, through the sovereignty of God, it'll fall upon one set of ears in all that crowd, in all those people. There might be one there that's been chosen by God, and God will give him the faith he needs to hear your message. And you don't know when and where it might happen. But it's still your duty. You don't get discouraged. You don't get down. Do you know what it's like sometimes to stand before congregations of people and present the gospel message and to see the dullness in their hearts? There ought to be people shouting and clapping their hands and praising the Lord for what He's done, and you can't even get an amen. That can be discouraging. If you're desiring the response of man, the strange part of this message is that we don't desire the approval of men. Strange, strange message. Not only that, it's a shocking message. To underscore how badly Jesus was beaten and suffered is to take away part of the gospel. And you say, "Well, brother, that's just too shocking for my congregation. It's too shocking for my Sunday school class. It's too shocking. There might be young people in attendance and it might harm them." Friends, please don't lessen the suffering of our Lord, because it's by His suffering that we are made whole. It's shocking to hear about He's been scourged in Matthew 27, that the hide was ripped from His back, that the flesh was torn away from bones. It's shocking to read how badly He was beaten. Isaiah said that hanging upon the cross, men would walk by and they'd say, Is that a man? Was that even a man hanging on that cross? He's been beaten to the point we can't even tell if it's a human being. That's shocking. He was spit upon. That's shocking. His beard was plucked out of His face. There would have been blood. There would have been suffering. There would have been weeping. There would have been just an awful, awful scene. And it's shocking. But He drank the cup of suffering for us. And by His stripes, we're healed. By His death and His burial and His resurrection, we're made acceptable to God. Don't take away the shock of the cross. It might be that shocking message that causes another heart to awaken and see that those things were ours and Christ took them away. And it's a simple message. It's a strange message. It's a shocking message. It's a simple message. It's by grace alone. God's unmerited favor. You have to start in the right place. You can't start saying everybody's born to go to heaven. God only allows some of them. You see, Romans 3 tells us all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every man is destined to hell. God, by His grace, chooses some not to go there. You say, well, did God choose some to go to hell? No. Everybody's going to hell. God chose some not to. It's His divine sovereignty. It's His grace reaching out. Whosoever will come to Him will be saved. Secondly, it's through faith alone. When I step out, when I step across into the darkness of death, I'm going to place my faith in Christ and what He's done to deliver me from that last enemy. Grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone. There's only one name which saves, and that's Christ. Pretty simple. It takes a miracle of God to make it happen. The purpose of the cross is it's a bold statement of love. It provides salvation through a sacrificial system and defeats Satan. Jesus didn't say, "I am finished." He said, "It is finished." The power of the cross. Sin dies. Hell is defeated. Heaven is delivered. John Wesley was returning home from a service one night when he was robbed at knife point. The thief found only a little money and some Christian literature. As the bandit was leaving, Wesley called out, "Stop! I have something more to give you." Well, you can imagine the surprise of a robber who's just held somebody at knife point, takes everything they got, and then as he's about to leave, the man he robbed just said, "Stop, I want to give you more." So he stopped. John Wesley said this, "My friend, you may live to regret this sort of life. And if you ever do, remember this. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin." The thief laughed and hurried away. Years later, after a Sunday service, Wesley was approached by a successful-looking businessman. He introduced himself, handed John Wesley a sum of money. Wesley looked back at him surprised, said, "Sir, what's this for?" And he introduced himself as the one who had robbed Wesley so many years before. And he said to him, "Mr. Wesley, my life is different now, and I owe it all to you." Wesley stood back, hands upraised. He said, "Oh no, not to me, not to me, but to the precious blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin." Friends, that's the message. Thank God for the precious blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin. Will you pray with me? Father God, I thank You. I thank You for the message of the gospel. I thank You for the cross of Christ. I thank You for the blood that was shed. I thank You for the borrowed tomb. I thank You for the tomb being empty. And I thank You for a risen Lord. Father, by His stripes we've been healed. By His cup of suffering we've been saved. By His glorious resurrection we will rise again. Father, all these things, we thank You so much. In Christ's mighty and strong name, amen. God bless you, friend. From Rallets Baptist Church.